to thank Michael for allowing me to stand before you. As you know, about 3 weeks ago, I was almost seemed like I was stranded in Virginia, and I was supposed to be speaking on that Sunday, and thanks be to God, we were able to make it back, unfortunately, a lot later than 4 o'clock on Sunday. So Michael asked me if I would to go ahead and to preach the message that I was preparing to do on that Sunday evening. As always, I'm indebted to the great God of heaven because he has blessed men with the opportunity to be able to share his word with his people. And I'm sure, like Michael and Wes and any of the brothers that get up here, you know, we don't take this lightly. This is serious because we're dealing with the souls of men and women and children. And we need to know what is thus saith the Lord, and that's the only thing that matters when we have this opportunity to stand before you. The message that I'm going to present to you tonight, I was trying to put together something that was in tune with what we have been studying throughout. You guys got to bear with me. I got a whole bunch of papers in my Bible, notes and lessons, and they're dropping out. So I apologize for that. But I wanted to hopefully give something that would encourage everyone, especially to keep in line with what we've been thinking about through this year. Our theme has been fulfilling our purpose, and specifically in this quarter, we've been talking about recreation. So I wanted to deal with something that the Bible teaches us along those lines. It may not be specifically in that area, but along those lines. I want to commend Mike and Wes. I mean, they've been doing a great job with dealing with recreation because, you know, we don't think of the Bible as talking about recreation, but as we have seen, clearly God has in his word things that we can take from the scriptures that would help us even when we're in a situation of recreation or relaxing or doing those things that we enjoy in life. And one of my favorite scriptures, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. And as he's given us all things for us to live here on earth, to be pleasing to him, and to know what we need to know in order to go home to be with him in glory. And that's the God we serve. He's a powerful God. He's a wise God. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And so he's given us everything in his word that will help us as his children as we strive to do his will, to be pleasing to him, and also to show man that we are the lights of the world. We are the lights of Jesus Christ. And so our lesson, if you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I appreciate James reading that into our hearing this evening. And we'll deal with those scriptures in a moment. But probably as you look at your TV on the internet, I'm sure on your jobs and in schools, a lot of focus on health and wellness. You know, to the extent that a lot of our commercial buildings, a lot of our buildings, our workplaces, they're now building fitness centers when they build these buildings and put offices in so that there's a place for individuals to get some exercise. You know, there's a lot of focus on that with children getting exercise, making sure that children are getting the necessary exercise, the cardiovascular and so forth, so that as they grow older, they're becoming healthy and not just wasting their body. And we know Jesus himself, when he was here in Matthew chapter 22, he gave us that commandment, the first and the greatest commandment, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. And so we see that God himself was concerned about the whole person. He didn't just want us to become a child of God, to go down in the water of grave of baptism, and to not be concerned about who we were and who people saw us as being as we have made this commitment to Him to live according to His will. And so there's that focus on the whole person. And as a result, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this chapter actually deals with the body of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at, we're going to look at many of the verses in here, because as we consider the Word of God tonight, and my title for anyone that may be taking notes, is A Healthy Body. You know, with all the talk about recreation and with exercise and dieting and health and wellness, we want to make sure that our bodies are healthy physically, but likewise, as a child of God, as a whole, we want to make sure we have a healthy body. East Orange, the East Orange Church of Christ, wants to be a healthy body for the Lord. When visitors come into our building, I think there was some comments made recently, we want them to see that we are a body of believers that not only say we're Christians and say that we're the church you read about in the Bible, that they see it in us. Jesus said, Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works. And not just see your good works, but they will want to glorify your Father in heaven as well. As a result of what they see, they will want to as well want to be a part of the life that we are a part of. And so as we consider the healthy body, I think there's three things that Paul teaches us in this chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. One, he teaches us that if we want to aspire and if we want to achieve having a healthy body, that we must maintain the unity of the Spirit. Acknowledge that it is that one Spirit that gives to everyone, and it's that one Spirit that dwells within us all. And so we must maintain and achieve the unity of the Spirit. Likewise, I believe Paul teaches us that the body, although there are many of us, there are many members, as was mentioned in the Scriptures, there's just one body. We that are many, we're not many. It's not many bodies of Christ. It's one body of Christ. And so although there are many members, the many members make up the one body of Jesus Christ. And then we also must acknowledge the completeness of God, which helps to make us have a healthy body as a body of believers in the body of Christ, striving to do the will of God. Well, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse number 4, we see that unity of the Spirit. We're reminded of Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul tells the church of Ephesus in chapter 4, verse number 3, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so as Christians, we should strive to be unified, to be one, to be in one accord with one another, in the unity of the Spirit. Because as we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that it is that one same Spirit that has given to all, that has been given to all. Paul says in verse number 4, now there are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. That diversities is just various kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit that has given them. Verse number 5, and there are differences of administration, differences of ministries, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of operation, different activities amongst the body, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And so we see the unity of the Spirit in the fact that it's that one Spirit that gives to all, that blesses all, that handles the ministries, that dwells within us, that guides us, that blesses us with gifts through our Father in heaven. And so as a result, we as Christians, we have to understand, even though one person may be able to teach, someone else may be able to be hospitable and to care for others, it is still that one Spirit that knows the gifts that have been given, and together we as a body can be blessed. We can be a healthy body because we're unified, recognized. You know, there may be sisters in this congregation that have the gift of reaching out. And so they'll send cards, or maybe they'll call someone. And there's others that don't. And then, you know, sometimes people get upset because I didn't get a phone call from such and such. I didn't get a card from this person. I was in the house. They didn't come visit me. Everybody doesn't have that gift. But those that have the gift, God wants us to use it. And it's the Holy Spirit that directs us in using those gifts that God has given us. And prayerfully, we are doing that to the glory and the honor of our Father in heaven. And so we can be unified as a body. We can represent the body by using the gifts that God has given us. And ultimately, we do this through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us in baptism. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, and as a result, it guides and directs us. Jesus, when he was here, he told us he was going to give the Comforter. He was going to send the Comforter. And that Comforter would remind us of the things that we have studied. And so we're thankful to God that he has given us his Holy Spirit when we went down in the watery grave of baptism. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible tells us, Paul tells us, quench not the Spirit. We don't want to quench the Spirit. What does quench mean? It means to put out. We don't want to put out the Spirit. We talk about quenching our thirst, okay? When we quench our thirst, that means we get something that takes away our thirst. Well, if we quench the Spirit, we literally take out the Spirit. How can the Spirit help us if we have quenched us? And so Paul says, quench not the Spirit. What we should make sure we do is not to put out the Spirit, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can guide and direct us in our lives. And so we thank God for the unity of the Spirit. We thank God for the operation of the Holy Spirit and how it works in our lives. Turn, if you will, to your Bibles. I'm sure many of you Bible students are familiar with 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And John helps us to understand the unity that the Spirit has with the Father and with the Son. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse number 7. The Bible reads, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one." And so we see that the Holy Spirit is one with the Word. Obviously, we know the Word is Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we see as we continue to read, that Word was Jesus Christ. And that Word became flesh, verse number 14, and dwelt among us. And so we see that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one. And we're thankful for the unity that we have in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to our scripture text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at the oneness of the body. We see the unity of the Spirit that Paul talks to us about in chapter 12. But now let's look at the oneness of the body, specifically where our brother James read, verse number 12. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free. We've all been made to drink in one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." And this is probably the area where a lot of Christians maybe struggle or aren't as familiar. But we have to recognize that God has put us together in the body for his purpose. And let's let the Word of God, let's see what the Word of God says. Verse number 15, he says, "If the foot..." I'm getting over a cold. He says in verse 15, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, Is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. See, God has put the body of Christ together. We talk about having a healthy body. We need to aspire to recognize, you know what? If we should say, well, you know, this pinky, you know, I don't have much use in it. I can grab a pole, or I can grab a pen or pencil without the pinky, so I'll just cut that off. No, the pinky is useful because, you know what? It gives you more grip. So that when I grab this pen and I need to write, it helps to support my hand as I'm holding that pen and writing. So if I cut that off, you know what? It would probably be a little more difficult for me to write without that pinky. And so God has put our hands together. Same thing with our feet. You know, we look at that little pinky toe and say, that guy hanging out here, he don't really do nothing. Guess what? You stub your toe, and he'll let you know how important he is to your body. he'll stop in your tracks because of the pain that runs through your body because you stubbed that little toe. And so all of the parts of the body are important. Likewise in the church. We have to recognize that to have a healthy body, everyone in the church is important. The person who cleans, guess what? He's just as important as Michael getting up here and preaching. Because if we come in and the place is not taken care of, well, guess what? We're not going to want to come here often, right? We're not going to want to come here. We're not going to want to have visitors coming in, and they're going to look at us and say, we can't even keep house for the Lord, basically. And so we want to make sure that everybody in the body is recognized as an important part of the body. And I'm not saying recognize as, you know, we throw some celebration or whatever, but I'm saying that every single position, whatever it is that someone does, it's important. And that's what Paul goes on to tell us here. Where do we stop off? In verse number 19, he says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? So basically he's saying if every one of the body, every part of the body was just an arm, guess what? You wouldn't be able to walk. All right? You'd have no head. And so God has put the whole body, every part of the body functions in a certain way. The same thing with the church. Everybody working together, doing their part of the body, helps the body to be healthy and whole and to function in such a way. We have a person who takes care of the accounting, takes care of the monies that are received. We have someone that may be taking care of the order of worship. We have someone that takes care of different parts. Whether it's the women that put together the Lord's Supper so that we can have it ready for worship. All those functions in the body. Whatever part you do, that's an important part of the body. It makes to have the church, the body, function in such a way that we can serve our God without distraction, without hindrances. And so that if a part of the body, maybe someone that does that role is not in, we pass the word on. We get it to somebody else. Someone else does that. They fill in. That's how the body, you know what? If there's a part of my hand that's not working, I need to do something. Guess what? I'm, you know, hey fellas, you know, you're going to have to, you know, carry his weight. Somebody, another part of the body, another finger may have to do a little extra work. Another toe, you know, you tippy toe sometimes, you know, those other toes are going to have to do some double time. All right? Same thing with the body. If someone's missing, we pray for them, but we still go on. If someone carries on, if someone's not able to be here to teach their class, all right, someone else fills in. All right? That makes for a healthy body because we have others that can fill in and that can help. You know, let's go on, let's continue on reading the Word of God. In verse number 21, he says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. He says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. It's the same thing when we hear of someone losing a loved one. You know what? We're all touched by that. And maybe some of us have experienced that same, you know, loved one that's lost, whether it's a sibling or a parent or a child. We all feel that because we've all gone through losing someone that's close to us. If someone is sick, we pray for them. We have a number here that have either had surgery, you know, Justin and Bill Jones, relatives that have surgery. You know, Wes's father recently had surgery. And so we're concerned about that. That's what the body does. When part of your body is hurting, the rest of the body is concerned because they know, the parts of the body know they're going to have to do a little extra. And oftentimes, physicians will tell you, you know, if one leg, if your knee is bothering you, what you're doing is you're going to be compensating on the other leg because of the injury to the left leg. So the right leg sometimes will start to hurt because it's doing double. It's doing double the exercise, double the work. And that's what happens. That's what the body does. And so likewise, our spiritual body. When someone is hurting, we want to comfort them. We want to help them in whatever way we can. And we want to let them know that they are part of the body. They're an important part of the body. And, you know, sometimes, you know, in the world, you know, they look down on maybe the person that's, you know, cleaning the building or something like that. The person who, you know, the male people or the clerical people. Guess what? They're the support staff. They're the ones that keep the company together. They're the ones that support the work. They get the work out. Without them, the business wouldn't succeed. Same thing with the church. Without those that do some of those background duties, without them, there are things that would be lacking in the body of Christ. And so we have to recognize, to have a healthy body, we have to acknowledge that the body is of many parts, but we're one in Christ Jesus, and that's the beautiful thing. And so, you know, even with our secular jobs, oftentimes you may have I'm in insurance, and I tell people, if you have an insurance issue, question on your coverage, or you have an accident, God forbid, but if you get in an accident, let me know. I'll help you out. I'll answer some questions for you. That's what the body is all about. That's what we hear, and that's why we fellowship, because we never know who it is in the body that can help us without us having to maybe go and pay money for somebody out there in the world and not knowing, and they're just trying to take our money. But yet, by fellowshipping, we can speak with one another. Excuse me. And we find out that someone else maybe has had a similar situation as us. And as a result, we can get the help we need. We can maybe find the resource that we need to go to because someone else has dealt with this situation. Whether it's an illness, whether it's a circumstance of life. That's what the body is put together for. In addition to serving the Lord, but helping one another. Because guess what? We're all trying to go to heaven. We know Satan is out there. He's trying to distract us from going to heaven. And he's going to use any ploy he can. But if we stay together as a body and tell Satan that the things that the temptations that you try to throw my way, the way you try to distract me from spending time with my brothers and sisters, I'm not going to have it. We can let him know, I want to maintain and be part of a healthy body of Christ. And so as we talk about, you know, fulfilling our purpose in recreation, part of that fulfillment is being part of a healthy spiritual body. Because we know if we're living right for God, then He's going to bless us to be able to share some of these other things or enjoy some of these other things that life has to offer. Obviously within reason. But the key is that our focus is on Almighty God. We're doing His will. We're trying to encourage our brothers and sisters. We're trying to hold on to the members of the body of Christ, that to have that healthy body. And so as a result, we can be blessed by the things that God has blessed us with in His body. And then the third thing that Paul shares with us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that we as a healthy body, we are not complete without God. Recognizing that God is the one who has put this whole thing together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse number 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues." God has put all of this together so that the body of Christ can not only be physically healthy as we live amongst one another and seek one another for help, for encouragement, but be spiritually one with Him and His Son. So that when we come together and worship, we worship together. We can worship in harmony. As we sing songs and try to establish harmony in song, we can live and worship God in harmony together. So that there, as the Word of God says, there's no schisms. There's no division. Because we're following the Word of God. We're not using other creeds. We're not using other books to establish how God wants us. We follow that which is inspired by Him, which is His Word. And so we can be one. We can recognize that, okay, the apostles had their responsibility. They had their ministry. And when the apostles are done away with, when the Word came, there's no more need for the apostles. Now He has men that are carrying out, teachers and preachers. You know, we go into all the world, preach the gospel. When we go into work, we live the life of Jesus Christ. Strive to be like Jesus. So our co-workers can see that we're different from the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. Because we're trying to be a part of a healthy spiritual body. We're not trying to do what the world is trying to do. We're not trying to go out there and live life to the fullest, as they say. We're trying to please God in the fullest. And we're trying to live and have not only a healthy physical body, but we want to have a healthy spiritual body. We want to do that with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to do that according to the Word of God. As I prepare to bring this to a close, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse number 30, he says, Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? He says, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And what we do is we recognize God has blessed us with a gift that's different from someone else. And we use that gift to the best of our ability to please God. Everyone, as I said earlier, everyone's not going to be a teacher. Everyone's not going to be a preacher. There are some that, you know what, there's some that can't stand to have anybody in their car. There are others that don't mind giving a ride. And that's life. You know, some people are introverted. You know, they don't make up conversations. There's some people like me, they got the gift of gab. And so, you know, whatever our gift is, we use it. We encourage one another with it. And prayerfully, we can inspire those that, you know, we know our numbers are bigger than this. Maybe we can inspire someone with what we know, what we've learned, what we are receiving from the Word of God on Sunday evening to encourage others to come out, be a part of the body. And they may be inspired as well to go out and to bring something. And so we recognize that as we fulfill our purpose, God not only wants us to have a healthy body physically, but He wants us to have a healthy body spiritually. We know that because in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul tells us, you know, we need to be mindful of our body and what we do with our body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 15, he says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." He says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now, this is the key here. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Why? For ye are bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Brothers and sisters, Paul's message to us is that we be a healthy spiritual body. And as we're considering fulfilling our purpose, we want to fulfill our purpose. We can fulfill our purpose in recreation. Guess what? Recreation sometimes is the way in which we fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And when we do it in such a way that's pleasing to God, I don't believe there's any way that we cannot do it. We can do it without getting a blessing. Fellowship is the way in which God helps us to share and to know one another and to understand the things that are going on in our lives. In the first century, you know, I oftentimes wonder how, when they were physically being persecuted, was the body growing by the multitudes? Oftentimes, fellowship may have been the key. Bible doesn't say. What we do know is that they were receiving the word, and they were being added to the body. But they were fellowshipping as well, and I believe that they had a healthy spiritual body. They were growing. And we want to do the same thing. And the key is just recognizing the parts of the body. And as we've been doing, praying for them. All right? Calling them. I don't get a chance to call many. But if I have an opportunity, I will. You know, inviting someone over to your house. Going out to eat. Maybe going to a game. Whatever the case may be. And getting to know one another. Building up that body. And maintaining that strong, healthy body. Recognizing the unity of the Spirit, the oneness of the body, and the completeness of God. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to maintain that healthy body, spiritual body, so that we can be pleasing to God and go home one day to be with Him in glory forevermore. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you have the opportunity to put on Christ in baptism. You hear the Word of God, all you have to do is believe it. Recognize that the way you've been living is not the way God has told you in His Word. And so you repent of your sins. You confess the sweetest name known to mortal tongue, and that's that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then you're baptized for the remission of your sin. And your life doesn't stop there, because Jesus said, teach, baptize, and then teach them to observe whatsoever things I command. After being baptized, you live a faithful life, and when you stand before the judgment of our God, you'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you're here tonight, and maybe you recognize, you know, you haven't been the member of the body that you ought to be, you can make a change. Come down, ask Mike, let Michael know. We'll pray for you, and you can let Satan know, "I'm no longer going to submit to the things you want me to do. I'm going to submit to the things that God wants me to do." And be a part of a healthy spiritual body. Whatever your desire is, you can make that known as together we stand and sing the song of the Lord.